This morning, if you have your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Revelation, we want to continue our study through Revelation. This morning we come to Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. Revelation chapter 9, verses 13 through 21. We've been looking at the seven trumpet judgments. The trumpet judgments came after looking at the seal judgments. And remember the seal, there were seven seals on the scroll that really is the deed to the earth, and that where sin and death and all the ramifications of it that have plagued man since Adam fell would be dealt with, and God would once again restore. And we remember that scroll, it appeared that there was no one who could break the seals and open the scroll and bring forth the judgment. And all of a sudden, the Lamb of God, which came to take away the sin of the world and also judge it, was able to break these seals. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And we looked at the seven seals. The seventh seal led to the seven trumpet judgments. And we're on to the sixth trumpet judgment this morning. Last Sunday, we looked at the fifth trumpet judgment, and that was when the Lord sent to the earth these locusts, which were unlike any locust that had ever been seen by man. And they caused men great pain, great suffering, for the period of 5 months, and to the point that men wanted to die but could not die. And now the seventh seal, God is sending the angels of death that have been bound, and he is loosing them upon the earth. Let's read beginning at verse 13 of chapter 9. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying, "Is the sixth angel, which is the which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates?" And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of man killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads, and with them they did hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of the murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would just help us to understand. Your day of wrath and judgment is coming on upon the earth. And so this is a mark of what are some of the things that are going to happen during the last portion of that great and awful day of the Lord. When during the last week of days, of years, rather, that shall be upon the earth, the last 7 years, And Father, the last three and a half of those seven will see your wrath poured out on man as man is unwilling to repent. Lord, I pray now that you just speak to us through your word this morning and help us to understand the truths contained within it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting as you look at this and look at all of the things that are going on in the book of Revelation. We're giving an overview of what is going to be happening during the last 7 years. Later on, we're going to be given specific details as we get later into the book of these events. Last week, we saw that men were being tormented by these strange locusts, but they couldn't die. The Lord is sending three demonic angels that have been bound, and what they are going to do is cause the death of one-third of those that are still alive on the earth. Remember that there's already been significant death. There was we saw that one-fourth of the earth was put to death during the seal judgments. And if you just stop and look at this and put it into perspective, right now there's about 7.5 billion people on the earth. I'm going to round it up to 8 billion because it's faster for me to do the math in my head instead of trying to do fractions in my head. But at 8 billion people, one-fourth of 8 billion, you divide 8 by 4, you've got 2. You'd have 2 billion people that would be killed during the seal judgments as part of the judgment of God upon the earth. Then we also see that now one-third of those that are remaining, and there would be somewhere around the 6 billion people that would still be remaining, one-third of those, or 2 billion more people, would die. That would be half of the earth's population would die as God's wrath is poured out on the earth for man's rebellion and unwillingness to repent. In the midst of all of this judgment, God is still calling men to repent. Later on, we'll see that during the first half of the tribulation, we'll get into that next week or the following week, there'll be two witnesses that will proclaim the truth from Jerusalem, day and night. And they will not be silenced, and no man can harm them. But people won't repent. We also know that there's 144,000 Jewish men that have been sent out throughout the whole earth to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the gospel, to call men to repentance. The vast majority of those that hear these men's message will not repent. Now you have God's judgment coming and His wrath being poured out on these unrepentant men, and yet you see men still don't repent. Now, how can this be? Well, part of it is, if you go back, and we mentioned it last Sunday, go back and look at the nation of Egypt, and you'll see that when Egypt was being judged because they would not let the nation of Israel go, and Pharaoh was being judged, God brought judgment against every major god of Egypt with the 10 plagues. And during every plague, at the end of the plague, Pharaoh would relinquish and say, "Yes, I'll let the people go," for about 5 minutes or half a day or a day. And then all of a sudden he'd say, "No." And it says in the scriptures that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And it says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now people say, "Well, that's really not very nice of the Lord to harden Pharaoh's heart." But if you look at it, he was just giving him the desire of his heart. Pharaoh did not desire to serve God, nor when God showed him that his gods were no gods at all, they're really demonic spirits leading him astray, and that he had fallen into a whole system of belief and worship that was in denial of the truth. And God revealed to him this, yet he did not choose to repent and turn and worship God. Instead, he'd rather hang on to his old Egyptian gods, hang on to his worldly power, hang on to his position and authority. and not realizing that it was all going to come to an end. But today you see many, many people the same. They've hardened their heart against God. They believe the lies of Satan in this world. Sometimes you talk to people and you tell them the truth and they mock you. We were just talking in Sunday school this morning during the time of Noah, as we were going through Genesis, and it came to the time of Noah that Noah was a preacher of righteousness who preached righteousness for over 100 years as he was building the ark. And the whole world was in rebellion against God except for a few that were in the line of Shem and that were worshiping the Lord. And as they began to die off, the only ones left were Noah and his family that believed the truth, even though Noah had been proclaiming the truth. And yet we see that there was mockery of Noah. We've never seen rain before. Now it's going to rain. What's rain? You say there's going to be a flood. What's a flood? Never seen a flood before. Well, guess what? There's people today that say, we've never seen judgment before. We've never seen Jesus come with his 10,000s of saints. Remember what Peter says in his letter to the church. They're going to scoff and mock at those who warn that Jesus is soon returning. And that's exactly the day in which we live. I know every day we're one day closer to his return. We're one day closer to the judgment of God. We're one day closer to the last 7 years of history as we know it. But men still don't repent. Now, it's interesting. Verse 13 starts out, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard the voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before the Lord. The voice that proclaims is at the golden altar with the four horns before the Lord. Earlier, we saw during the seals being broken that there were those that had been martyred for their faith on earth who were under the altar, and they were crying out, Lord, how long? How long? How long before your judgment will fall? How long before will you allow unrighteousness to continue to reign? How long will you allow the wickedness to continue? How long will you continue to allow your people to be persecuted and martyred? The answer is coming. The time is up, and it's beginning, the hammer's beginning to fall. God knows the beginning from the end. He knows the wickedness of men's hearts. You know, you stop and think about it. The blessing that God gave to our nation in America and the freedom that we've had, I've only known freedom except it's been trampled on in the last couple years. But prior to that, ever since I was a little kid, I'd lived in a situation like nowhere else in the world, and God had blessed us. At the heart of most people, they understood there was a God. And when I was really little, most people believed that Jesus was the Son of God that came to take away the sins of the world. And even if they hadn't given their life to Him and weren't living for Him, they still had a head knowledge of Him and still acknowledged the fact that God's Word was true. But it all began to change in the early 60s. Well, really, it changed before that, in the seminaries and in the colleges and in the high schools. Well, within the culture, it began to change. Francis Schaeffer wrote a book that followed what happened with our culture. And he said, what happened is, Satan got a hold of the professors and the theologians. And the professors and theologians not only wouldn't accept the God of the Bible, but begin to bring about new lies and new teachings coming in direct opposition to the authority of God's Word. This happened in Germany in the late 1800s, where the professors at the theological seminaries in Germany begin to question the authority of God's Word, specifically Genesis and Revelation, creation and judgment. And then they begin to question the authority of God's Son, saying Jesus really wasn't virgin born. And they begin to spread these lies and implant them in the hearts of their students. The same thing was happening in the colleges and universities. I've shared with you before, NDSU still has a religion department, although the head of the religion department today at NDSU is a free thinker and would deny everything about the Bible. Well, when the religion department was established, when NDSU was an agricultural college, a land-grant agricultural college first receiving its authority to teach, the Bible was the center of that department. Jesus Christ was the center of the Bible, and Christ was taught. You had to take religion class at NDSU. That has been destroyed. They've replaced, even as the Apostle Paul saw it coming in the church, at the time he lived, they replaced the truth of God's Word with the doctrines of demons and the philosophies of men. What that did is it undermined within our culture the values and the truth that those values have been based upon. You begin to see interesting things happen. The very foundation of a culture is family. The family was brought under severe assault. It began with the whole approach of covenant and commitment, and that being thrown out the window. Not being taught in the church, and definitely not being taught outside the church. It's interesting that this was reflected in many areas of our culture, because if you would go back to the early 1900s, if I came to you and said, I would like to buy one of your horses, we wouldn't write up a contract. We wouldn't sign our names to this contract. But rather, you would say, yes, I'll sell you the horse for $100. I would say, I'll give you $100. We'd shake hands. I'd say, I'm going to go get the $100. I'll be back. You would not sell that horse to anybody else. And I would bring the $100 and give it to you. That handshake was as good as any contract. Today, I know the construction field because I work in that. I know that there are contractors today and subcontractors today that live for breaking contracts. They will sign a contract, and the minute the ink is dyed, they read the contract to see how they can get more money, even though they've committed to do the job for a certain dollar amount. But what they are going to do is look for loopholes, things that aren't exactly written correctly, and try and get more money, breaking the contract, because they have no understanding of covenant. The Bible tells us that if I give you my word is good, and that I can't go back on my word, even if it's to my own hurt. Say that I said I wanted to buy your horse, and all of a sudden I realize that your horse isn't the horse I thought it was, in the sense that I thought it was a faster horse than it was. I should have checked it out beforehand, but I didn't, and I committed to buying it, as is. It's to my hurt. I have to take that horse, even though it may not be the horse that I wanted. Our culture's changed. And it began when God was taken out of it. And as Francis Schaeffer says, the way that it happens is it starts at the schools, and it starts in the teaching of the pastors, the college professors, the teachers. Back when public school was first introduced to our country, you know what public school was, how public school was done? Parents would hire a teacher, and they would pay this teacher, and they would tell this teacher what they wanted that person to teach their children. Mathematics, reading, writing, the basic things and the fundamental things. And the teacher would do that. The one that was in control, if that teacher started to teach things that were wrong, were the parents that hired her or him. And they would fire them. They would let them go. If they came in and part of the early Christian education was the Bible. But if they would come in and say, well, I really don't want to teach the Bible, so I'm not going to teach the Bible, those parents would come in and say, you're fired. We're going to get somebody that's going to teach the Bible as part of the curriculum and the basis of the curriculum of our school. Today, you've got teachers that don't even want to go back and teach because they're controlled by unions. And they say, oh, it's too dangerous to teach. So there are still schools where there are teachers not teaching, even though the parents want them to teach their children, even though they want their children educated. And when they come and do come into the school and teach, they won't necessarily teach what the parents want them to teach because they've been taught a whole different philosophy that's against what many parents want their children to learn. And then you look at what's being taught. Evolution is true. There are no moral values. There is no right or wrong. Francis Schaeffer said it didn't stop there, though. It came into the churches. And today, you're seeing many churches where pastors don't uphold the Word of God. How did that happen? Because they go to seminaries where they're taught everything that they taught in the higher criticism of Scripture in Germany in the late 1800s. There is no Genesis, there is no Revelation, there is no Jesus as we know in the Bible. They're all myths and fabrications. And this is just a guideline to help us, I don't know, to do what. Francis Schaeffer says what happens then, it goes out to the pulpits, the people begin to reflect the beliefs of the pastor because that's what they're being taught. The school children would reflect the beliefs of the teachers because that's what they're being taught. And then they come home and they sit around the table. But the problem is, how many parents sit around the table with their children anymore and discuss things? Because our culture has so fragmented and destroyed the family and made so many things more important than spending a meal together at the table. You've got all kinds of things. You've got athletic events. When I was in athletics, and I was in a lot of athletics, going to baseball and different things, but guess how far we traveled? 5 miles to the next town. Today you have little kids in hockey, little kids in football, little kids in basketball. They go to camp to learn how to be better basketball, football, hockey players. Then they go on traveling teams at the age of 9 or 8 or 7 and travel all over the country playing in tournaments. And there's no time to sit around the family and talk. And when they do, what values are there to share? There's none. So this is the world we live in. God has been extracted from the world. God's been extracted from the churches. God's been extracted from the families. The seventh trumpet blows, or the sixth trumpet sounds, rather. The people are saying, how long will you allow this unrighteousness to continue? Saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Now these angels are really demonic spirits that have been bound for this day. We don't know any more about them, but we do know that they bring death. And they are going to lead a charge of 200 million that are going to attack and assault and bring death across the world. Now, we don't know if these are 200 million demonic spirits, and Daniel gives the impression that they could be an army of 200 million coming from the east. If it's an army, it could very well be the army of China. They've got 200 million in their army. The things that John describes, I want you to understand, he's describing things that he's never seen before. And none of us, it would be like bringing somebody from one of the tribes in the innermost parts of Africa where they're still very, very primitive, and dropping them into the center of one of the great metropolitan cities of the world and say, describe this to your people. How would they describe it? How would they describe automobiles and cars and trains and airplanes and all these different things? Or if you took them to the Middle East and they're fighting their battles in the jungles of Africa with spears and bows and arrows, and you drop them into the current conflict in Israel between Israel and Gaza, and they're seeing rockets shooting and airplanes flying and bombs exploding and buildings crashing. And they're going to have no idea what this stuff is. And they got to describe it. Well, this is what John is doing. He's describing these things. And he says that this 200 million army is going to be an army of horsemen. And we don't know if it's literal horses. He says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jacinth and of brimstone. By these three was a third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. I don't know if this is a demonic manifestation. There's some interesting things happening in our world today. We're being set up to receive demonic manifestations. UFOs are being more and more touted as being real. And for example, they're saying now that there's going to be things released from the U.S. Army revealing all the things about UFOs and what happened down in Arizona and all of these different things. Dave Hunt, in some of his talks on when someone asks him in question and answer times, asks him about UFOs, he says, I think if there's anything such as a UFO, it's demonically inspired. And it's a demonic manifestation. Because guess what? The Bible says man was created in God's image. It says man was placed on earth. you begin to look at the earth in relation to the sun and all the other planets, do you realize the only place man could survive is this planet, because it's the right distance from the sun that we don't freeze to death and we aren't burned up. If we lived on Venus or Mercury, it would be so hot, we'd be burned alive. They're talking about living on Mars. Mars doesn't even have an atmosphere. The further you get away from the sun, the colder it gets. This is the perfect place. The atmosphere is perfect. This whole thing of the Green New Deal, you got to get rid of all the CO2 emissions. Guess what? Get rid of all the CO2 emissions, all the plants in the world are going to die. When I was in biology 101 in high school, guess what one of the first things we learned? We as humans need to take in oxygen to live. And our body takes that oxygen and uses it and combines it with carbon and sends it out as carbon dioxide. Plants take in carbon dioxide because they need carbon dioxide to live. They take that carbon dioxide, they process it, turn it into oxygen, and send it out. Remember a few years ago, they were talking about, oh, the world's going to be in a crisis. We're not going to have enough oxygen because they're cutting down the forests in Brazil. Remember hearing that? Haven't heard anything about it lately, have you? It's because the forests are blooming, blossoming. But you take away all the CO2, they won't. You see, people like OCE and the Squad and all these people, they at least need to learn basic biology, but they really need to learn the Bible. And that God created a system that would work. But part of that system wasn't unidentified flying objects, and part of that system isn't other inhabited beings out there that are coming to save Earth from herself. Dave Hunt said one of the things that they're going to do is they're going to promote the UFOs. And he says, I could see them saying that when the rapture occurs, they're going to say, well, all the people on earth that were creating all the problems were taken away by the UFO people for reprogramming. Probably that's what they'll come up with, because they got to lie about something. They're not going to say, Jesus came for his bride. They're not going to say, the believers left because the Lord came to get them and now judgment's coming on us. I'm not going to say that. Because they've got a lie. And guess what? The people believe the lie because they're being set up for it today. Do you realize how many people believe in UFOs? I believe they're demonic manifestations. And demons can manifest themselves in various ways. Satan can appear as an angel of light and be so deceitful, you will think that he is an angel of light proclaiming the truth unless you listen to his message. And closely listen. Because go back and see how he did with Adam and Eve. All he did was twist a couple words, change a couple things. And it sounded right, but it was wrong. To the point of death. So, this is the world that's being set up. And I don't know, and I can't say, because I can only read what the Bible tells me. It tells me in Daniel there's a 200 million man army. It tells me here there's 200 million coming. The description is such that it's a creature I've never seen before. An army I've never seen before. But I'm also looking back at the fact that John is trying to express things to us as God's revealing him in things he's never seen. Well, what's going to happen? It says, by these three was a third of the part of the men killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. I believe it's some type of weapon. Smoke, fire, and brimstone. You see what's happening in the Middle East right now? You see a lot of smoke, fire, and brimstone. Rockets. I don't know. But a third of the earth's going to be killed. You know, it's amazing to me. you're going to have people that are going to be happy to be killed. You know that there are billionaires today that want, our current population is 7.5 billion people. They want it down to 5.5 billion. Georgia Stone's down in Georgia, I believe it's 500,000, I think it is. Five hundred million people that they want left on the earth. 500 million. So where do the other billions of people go? They'll probably be happy this is happening. All I know is it's not going to cause people to repent. All I know is that it's interesting, and we're going to close by looking at the last two verses, and it says, and the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, okay? So that would be, if it's our current earth population, take away, as we said, about 4 billion. So there's like 3.5 billion people left in the earth. Not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. And what were the works of their hands that they should repent of? God had told them that they should not worship devils. You know what? I saw an interesting, you know, you got these vanity plates put in your car. I saw an interesting one that a kid had on his pickup. He had a skull on the back window, and his vanity plate said, "I love blood." And probably got a pretty good idea of who he's worshiping. Modern music, rock music, listen, if you can hear the words, listen to the words. They're disgusting. They talk about death, drugs, sex, and destruction. It's not like Karen Carpenter singing, "Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near?" It's death, destruction, drugs, alcohol. I shared with you before that many of the rock artists and some of the most famous ones that have ever performed made pacts with Satan for wealth and money and power. They worship Satan. Right now, there are politicians in our country and around the world that worship Satan. You know, before the last election, did you know that the witches in America were praying to Satan that he bring about his kingdom? That doesn't, not just worshiping the demons, that's bad enough. But then they take what the demons offer them as that which is of great value. That idols of gold, silver, brass, stone. My wife was telling me, did you know that the Catholic Church, a little tiny Catholic Church in Spain, has more wealth? Every day, the alpha is gold, silver, precious stone. Not only that, let's stop there. They worship things they can't see, hear, or walk. God hears and answers our prayers. Saw that this morning. We heard and answered Dr. Bob's prayer. These didn't answer your prayer. Because they can't hear. Can't see, can't walk. Then there's a couple of the last few things. It says here, neither repented they of their murders. Of their murders. You realize murder is becoming a big thing? It's sad. Go around and you see some, you'll see people, and if you see guys and they've got a teardrop here, means they've killed somebody. They've got a tattoo of a teardrop there. It means they've killed somebody. They belong to a gang and they've killed somebody. Life becomes... But it's not just going out in the street and murdering somebody. You realize they're murdering our kids? Scientists are murdering our kids? That's what Dr. Bob's whole thing was. How that they were forcing people to have their kids vaccinated, and these vaccinations were killing their kids. But you don't have to stop there. Go get the thing, a response to COVID that Gary Kopp put out. Don't fear. They came out with all these vaccinations for the COVID. Never tested. Never tried on humans before. They tell you you have to take this vaccination, yet our federal law says if it's an experimental drug, they cannot force you to take it. Yet they're telling you you're not going to be able to fly if you don't have the COVID vaccination. You're not going to be able to do this if you don't have the COVID vaccination. And yet you won't find out. Did you know that Hank Aaron died because he got the COVID vaccination? Within a week, he died of a heart attack from the COVID vaccination. You haven't heard that on the regular news, but his family's trying to get it out. Be one thing if they tell you. Then you look at some of these people, Bill Gates, who's behind the Moderna vaccination. He's also got money in the Pfizer vaccination. And he stands up and says, we need to have 2 billion less people on earth. He and his wife walk through Africa saying, look at all these poor kids, they've got diseases and stuff, but you know, we can vaccinate them, but we've got to stop them from procreating because it's just going to get worse. The Gates Foundation was kicked out of India because they were producing vaccinations that were sterilizing all the young women of India. Murderers! Then not only that, it says here, there are sorceries. Sorceries is not just witchcraft. The word sorcery, the root word really means pharmakia. We get our terms pharmacies from it. It means drug. What we're seeing happening, both in legal and non-legal drugs, and they're destroying the people's minds and bodies, and how people don't want to come to this book to solve their emotional and spiritual problems. Instead, give me a pill. Give me a pill. I'm depressed. Give me a pill. I love to listen to the drug commercials because usually the side effects are the very thing that they're trying to solve with their drug. They got these pills that come out and they're supposed to prevent you from having depression. One of the main side effects, depression and suicide. wow, I want to take that pill for my depression. But they give them to people. And guess what? Some people commit suicide. Some people get more depressed. Some people end up in hospitals and can't function properly the rest of their lives. When my mom was in the nursing home, my mom liked to complain. She didn't really want to be there, even though she checked herself in, but she didn't really want to be there. And so she complained about it. You know how they shut you up in a nursing home? Pills. They gave her an antipsychotic drug because they said she was harmful to herself or others. My mom would not have hurt anybody. She would have complained. She would threaten that, you know, I need to leave. I remember talking to the administrator shortly after she'd been put in there, and she said, I'm just waiting for the day for your mom to organize all the patients, and they're all walking out the door. But you know how my mom ended up in the nursing home? Same way she told me she was going to end up. When I came to visit her one of the first times, she pointed to a lady that used to be from my hometown, and she was sitting in the chair going, Mom said, I'm going to end up like that. I thought, not you, Mom. You're sharp as a tack. But after they got done giving her the drugs and they started impacting her mind and she started having memory loss that was horrendous, she ended up sitting in the chair going, drugs. The way they want to control people. Don't give God to people. Give them drugs. Sorcery. Pharmakia. Nor of their fornication. Nor of their theft. You seen that today? The biggest theft in the history of our country occurred when they started giving out money. You're thinking, well, I got a check. How could that be thieving? Well, do you realize what they've done? By printing trillions of dollars of worthless money. Have you noticed things are going up in price? So pretty soon, that bread that you used to buy for $3 a loaf is going to be $15 a loaf. Where's the money coming out of? Your pocket. They're transferring the wealth. They're stealing the money. It's theft. Those that have want more, and they're going to take it. Did you know I heard that some politicians say that, you know, we need to get rid of Social Security, and we need to federalize all 401ks and IRA accounts. Because those people don't know how to handle their money. Well, I think it's the government that doesn't know how to handle my money. But the thing is, they're thieves. They're thieves. Fornication means sexual issues. Are these things evident in the world today? A third of the world's living population has been killed by the judgment of God. Nobody repents. They just run back to that. How's the government going to help me now? Where am I going to get? How can my spirit guide help me when I go into my altered state to tell me what to do? Instead of falling on their knees and repenting. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize the horrible condition, spiritual condition of the world, and help us to realize that we've been called to proclaim the truth to those, even if they don't want to hear, but we've been called to proclaim the truth because some will hear and some will repent and turn to you. You are a gracious and merciful God because you could have come and wiped out the whole population of the world and you would have been justified. But you chose to send two witnesses and send 144,000 young men out proclaiming the gospel and send an angel calling out the warning of impending doom and judgment. And then won't listen. Lord, help us to pray for our family members, our neighbors, our co-workers that don't know you, that your Spirit would open their eyes and they'd come to know you. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to 492.